Look in John chapter 12. Jesus talking about himself here, but Jesse, you want to turn my cordless on? Verse 23 says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And what you do is you pray, God, use this for much fruit. And God would get the glory. George has been praying for guys and people that got right with God, came into this church, and he's been praying for his family. He's been praying for his brothers, his half-brothers and all that to get right. Some of them got saved. And there's a lot of Christians that we've seen through this church that's not living right. And if the Lord uses this to get a hold of them, and amen, so be it. That's what God, if God's in control, and he uses whatever he wants and does whatever he wants. Now take your Bible, look in James chapter 5, and I believe it's, where is it? Be patient, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Let's talk about tribulation as well. But one of them's talking about Jesus dying. The other one's talking about the tribulation. But the Lord's waiting and patient for precious fruit. But I want us to take the Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians. That was just some scripture I was looking at this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll just do a little study here. I'm reading a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4, and talking about fainting, people not fainting. And like I said, we've been down this road before, and I've had a lot of loved ones in this church, men, women that we've loved, that go on to be with the Lord. And they've been a help. They've been an encouragement. And we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. I don't know. George's funeral is on Tuesday. Becky's going to have her baby on Tuesday. We got a wedding on Saturday. I had a memorial service for my father-in-law yesterday. It's like boom, 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 boom. It's just one thing. And what do you do? You say, well, do you give up? Do you faint? No. You ask God for strength. You keep going. You know, you think about people in this life that don't have no God they can lean on. They have nobody they can trust. Like I said, before I was saved, I went outside cursing God and everything else. But I know I can trust my father, and you can trust him. Samson said, Dad, what do you think's going on? I said, the Lord's working. And I got a text last night. As a man out in Texas, every time I go to Texas, I stay with him. His name is Brother Pete. And Glenn Stocker texted me yesterday. He said, Brother Pete died. I get texts all the time. And it seems like you deal with death, and that's part of life, dealing with death. And you got to deal with it. And George was, like I said, was unexpected. George was full of life. He did some crazy stuff a lot of time. He made me laugh my head off. And George throughout life, I mean, ever since he was a kid, I've got videos of him standing right behind this pulpit preaching and squeaking like a little girl. And he got up here and preached. And he always wanted to preach. He always wanted to, you know, he'd always come to the preacher. Can I preach? And I never forget, he got saved. And Samson at times where George had a real bad attitude. He was a little skinny guy. I mean, probably weighed about, at the time, about 70, 80 pounds. But he had a mouth like a lion. You know, he'd always run his mouth to everybody. And Samson was always trying to protect him. And then Samson a couple of times had to chase him down in the youth group. He was in the youth group, and Samson would chase him down because he'd start a fight with a couple other guys and chase him down and then grab him, throw him back in the van, and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. And George ended up living at my house. Matter of fact, one night a car pulled up in my driveway. He thought this guy had come to kill him. He was at my house, sleeping at my house, and he stayed there. And Linda and I was dead asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. A car pulled in my driveway and he come running in my room and jumped in the bed with me and my wife, right between us. And he got right between us, got under the covers, and he wouldn't get out of my bed. And so we've been down the road with this boy many, many times. And what blessed my heart is he wanted to serve the Lord with all his heart. And he lived life. I mean, he definitely lived life. And during the youth rally, I told him and Jesse, y'all, you can handle. And then George would come to me and say, was that all right? I said, that was good. He'd asked me before him and Jesse was going to do something. I said, that's fine, do it. And gave him liberty to do things. And he wanted to please God. He also wanted to please his preacher. And he wanted to please you, be a blessing to you, and comfort everybody. That's what he wanted to do. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about fainting. Like I said, we've been down this road many times. I'm hurting. Don't think I ain't hurting. I'm hurting inside.
Amen. Amen.
You get people that want to work that don't cause no trouble. And just want to be a help. Keith, we missed Keith at the youth rally. Ron said, we're going to miss Keith. Because Keith, he was always here, always cleaning up, always doing things. And he always said, God's good, God's good, God's good. And he come to my office. And that's the kind of people you don't want to see leave. I don't want them to go. People that don't complain, they don't have no motive behind anything to try to do anything to hurt the church or hurt other people. They just want to be a help. And that's what it's supposed to be.
Amen.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen. Amen.
They have no ulterior motive to try to promote themselves or make themselves look good. They just want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And I appreciate the men and the women in this church. You all work. You help. You do whatever is necessary. Right now, pray for our teams.
Amen.
We're supposed to go to North Carolina. George got up Wednesday night, confirmed it. We got it nailed down. He come to me and said, we got it nailed down. And it's funny, Wednesday night, he said to me, preacher, can we sing a couple extra songs tonight? I said, sure, man. Do it. We sang extra songs. Who knew that a few hours later, he was gone. You don't know. That's George left a good testimony.
Amen.
He left a good testimony. Went out top. If anything, that's what we ought to be striving for. Leave a good testimony. Be a help to people.
Amen.
Encourage people.
Amen.
Strengthen people.
Right.
Because if you sit around and feel sorry for yourself, you'll think everybody owes you something.
Right.
You'll think, man, woe is me, and all that stupid things that happen. My father-in-law shot himself. I wish I could have got to him. We didn't know my father-in-law was going to do such a thing. That's why it hurt so bad. He was 92 years old. You expected a man 92 years old, he was in good shape, but he shot himself. That's what hurt us. We had to go down and deal with that. And he sat out there in the chair, and I was looking at the chair. And so every morning while I was there, I took another chair just like that chair and went out there and sat in front of that bush where he sat and prayed. So what do? You go on. It makes me mad at the devil in the world, man.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
That I want to keep on going.
Yeah.
I went to a couple churches down there. I didn't go there to say, well, I'm the pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Smyrna, Delaware. I went in there and I tried to encourage their pastor.
Amen.
I went up there and they came back to me and shake my hand. And I tried to encourage them. One pastor wants to build a building. I told him, I said, here, I got a guy to help you. I gave him the number.
Amen.
You get this idea that, you know, my Lord, stuck on self, stuck on stupid. I was wearing a shirt the other day, and I went into the bank, and the guy says, I like that shirt. He said, and it said, stand back. I'm allergic to stupidity. Somebody gave me that shirt. I don't know who it was. Yeah. Stand back. I'm allergic to stupidity. I'm in the bank, and the guy was saying, I like that shirt. That's really good. And then all of a sudden, he messed up something. And he goes, you want to stand back? Whew. Hallelujah. Look at this. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we what?
Faint not.
We faint not. We all have a ministry. You say, I'm not in the ministry. Oh, yes, you are. You're in the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
The Bible says that that's what we are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be reconciling people to God. That's our ministry. Paul saying here, Paul's writing this, and Paul went through all kinds of hell. And look on down. He says, for I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, and to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's a treasure that we have inside of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You say, man, this thing with George has happened? No, we had no idea. He told me years ago, and he told me just recently. He said, preacher, I'm coming up on 40. My mama died at 40. He would be 40 years old September. And he said, he went to the cardiologist last week or two weeks ago, and they gave him a clean bill of health. That shows you better trust in God.
Amen.
People are trusted what the doctors say, and the doctors mess you up.
Right, amen.
And I'm not against the doctors, but I'm telling you, man, you better pray and trust God. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Here, the Apostle Paul writing this, man. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We think, a lot of times, we think as Christians, living right, living for God, that everything's supposed to be perfect in our lives. That's what we think. And that's what our mindset is. And when something goes bad, the devil whispers in your ear, say, God must not really love you. We go through things so God can get that precious fruit.
Amen.
Out of your life.
Amen.
You know what? When you're hurting the most, if you're trusting God, that's when the fruit comes. That's when it comes. That's when the Lord can mold you, make you. You start yielding. We had this memorial service yesterday. I had nephews and stuff here yesterday. One boy named Joey, he lived with us for a little while. Linda was homeschooling. He's so rebellious right now. He was out there drinking. And Mike went up to him and told him not to drink on the property. He left a beer right over on the picnic table, half full, around the kids. And Mike went up to him in here and put his arm on his shoulder and said, hey, man, don't drink around here, all right?
Amen.
Joey got this attitude. He looked over at Mike like he wanted to fight. And I said, Joey, he's telling you what's right.
Amen.
You know better. He got up. He's looking over at Mike, and he got up and walked out. And I walked out with him, and I told him, I love him. Love you, boy. I hugged him. He's got a little baby. His wife tried to kill that baby. The baby's a year and a half old. She stabbed herself. I said, you be a good father. He said, I got to be a father and mother. I said, well, you be a good one then. As I walked back to the church, I told him, I said, you need to quit drinking. As I walked back to church, I heard him take that pop, and he went out of the parking lot. I just kept walking. We're troubled on every side, not distressed. I told Linda, we need to fast and pray for him. If not, he's going to end up. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I mean, brother, talking about bearing the cross. Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? Take up a cross. You know what a cross is for? It's a die on. Yeah. Suffering. That's what you go through. I'm not saying the whole Christian life is suffering. It's not. But you go through it at times. With your family, your friends, your loved ones, you'll go through it. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Everybody in this room, you're living for God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. We're for death. That's what we're supposed to give ourselves. Are dying to ourselves. For we which are alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith. What he's saying, he said, man, I'm going through this so you all can get saved, so you all can hear the word of God. I'm going through what I go through so I can get you the word of God. We're trying to keep missionaries on the field. We're trying to get the word of God out, the gospel, the tracts are passing out. Always trying just to put the word of God out, see other people have life, that they might have it. But it's going to cost somebody something. And it says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according to as is written. I believe there, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that we which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving may abound to the glory of God. For this cause, look what it says, verse 16, underline it. For this cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For then he says, for our light affliction. If you read what Paul went through, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, our light affliction. Our light affliction. Man, the guy was shipwrecked. He was beat. He went through all kinds of stuff for the name of Jesus Christ. He said, for our light affliction. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at all things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. He says, for this cause we faint not. Samson said to me, he said, Dad, what are you going to do? I said, we go on. He said, you have a plan? Nope. Amen. Just trust God. Amen. That's my plan, is just trust God. And that's always been my plan, just keep trusting God. You just keep trusting the Lord no matter what comes down the pike. And I speak as a fool, but I've been down the road a little bit. There's some things I might face and you might face tomorrow. We don't know. But I want you to remember, you can trust the Lord. You can trust God in every situation. Just make sure you're not the one to cause any problems. Make sure you're not the one to cause any judgment. This thing happened with George, it was unexpected. George was serving God. He said, wow, man, a guy was serving God. He was doing all these things. Why did the Lord take him? It was his time. It was his time. And you just trust him. And if the Lord wants to take you, he'll take you no matter what. Amen. If he wants to leave you here, I said, the Lord's taking all the good ones out of here and leaving us. And what does that leave us? Amen. We're the rotten ones. He said, y'all can just suffer a little while more. But take your Bible, look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. There's still a job to be done. There's still a battle to be won. Amen. There's still work to be done. And we've got to continue on. Even though my heart's broke. Even though things happen. And I look at April and I look at Landon. Landon wanting to know where his daddy at. What do you tell a little baby, little boy? Galatians chapter 6. He said, what do? You hug your children. Kiss them. Say, thank you, Lord, for help that little boy. Touch that little boy. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall faint. We shall reap if we faint not. It doesn't say we shall faint, but it says we shall reap if we faint not. The time now is keep fighting on, keep going. And not the time to back up. And the Bible talks about being confident, being and hope and trusting the Lord's going to take care of things, and he will. And when somebody asked me, so what are you going to do? We're going to keep trusting God and keep serving him, trying to win people to Jesus Christ. And it says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I want to reap good things. I want to see people saved. I want my life to count for something. That's what George wanted. Wanted life to count, and it did count. There's going to be people coming to the funeral that he worked with. Josh has talked to them. They're weeping on the phone. God's going to use it for his glory. Whatever God does is going to be right. The Bible says, shall not the God of all the earth do right? You think God did wrong? I don't. I think God did what he wanted to do. And what, that's what he wanted? He did. So you can trust him. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if you faint about the time the Lord's getting ready to come back? Take your Bible, we looked at this last week. Look at Luke chapter 18. Look at Luke 18. Jesus talking. Luke 18. Look at what the Bible says. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to what?
Faint.
Not to faint. Faith Baptist Church, Lord helping us. We're not going to faint. Lord helping us. God's going to do something, what he wants to do, and he's going to do it work, and he's going to continue doing the work. I just want to be a part of it, and I just want to be faithful to him. And that's what we're trying to do as a church. We keep going and not to faint. If I can encourage you any way, shape, or form, it'd be not to faint, to keep serving God. Trust him. Be a blessing. Don't be a curse. Let your life be a blessing to other people. You have a ministry. Your ministry is the reconciliation. It's exhortation, encouraging one another, praying for one another. And like I said this last week or week before last, I said, there's one thing that we don't do like we should is pray. Amen. We don't pray. And that's where we lack. We're getting down where we're reading our Bible. We're reading our Bible, okay? But we're not praying.
Amen.
We need to pray for fruit. And that God would use it for your glory, his glory and honor. And we preached yesterday, had one of my nieces got saved yesterday. Ruthie got to lead one of the nieces to the Lord. She's how old, Ruth? Was 12 years old. That's when they're young and tender. You say, why do we go after kids? Why? Because that's when they're young and tender. But kids are getting harder at a younger age. We're trying to reach them, man. We're trying to touch lives. But people, you know, I had a call. Right in the middle of this whole thing, Miss Bonnie just had brain surgery, Bonnie Trivett. I haven't even been to see her yet. A lady calls me up crying on the phone. Her sister is at ICU. She could die any minute. She got saved. Her name's Karen. I think, where is Jamie at? I think Jamie led her to the Lord. And she got saved. She got away from drinking. And a couple of the guys went up to the hospital. We dealt with her and prayed with her. And, man, God delivered her, this woman, from drinking. She started doing good. But she got back around some of her old boyfriends, shacked up with them, got drinking. They said her boyfriend found her wandering around. And that's what this lady told me. Found her wandering around in the front yard, and then she fell down. And she's saved. Wandering around the front yard, drunk. Her liver's gone. She got liver cancer. They got her on morphine right now. She might be gone right now. I'd get a call. Right in the middle of all this, get a call. This is happening. This is happening. That's happening. So what do? Don't faint. You keep going. Be not weary in well-doing. You know why? Because I know it's right what we're doing. I know it's right serving God. I know this book is right. And I know God's got the answers. And you just keep going. Keep trusting him. Don't faint. Pray. If you have never prayed like, you know, Right now would be a good time to start. Start praying more. Be not weary in well-doing. Take your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 3. Just a few things on not fainting. Ephesians chapter 3. Trust him. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, and look down about, back up 8. It says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. He's saying God's going to give you wisdom how to realize you're dealing with some things. And I think we're dealing with more principalities and powers now than ever before. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Therefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. See, you see these guys on TV, all they talk about is you want to be rich. God, since you're saved, everything's going to be rich. You're going to have all the blessings. And anything bad happens to you, it's the devil. And the devil is, just cast him out, tell him, get behind. And all that crazy stuff that they say. Now, God allows stuff in your life. He allows suffering. He allows persecution. He allows those things. Why? Because whenever you're in boot camp as a soldier, you're supposed to be soldiers. We're not training soldiers anymore. They're training, I don't know what we're training, but we're not training soldiers. But a soldier has to go through tribulation and heartache, sorrow, to learn to be a good soldier. That's what God does. He allows those things. For this cause, he says, verse 14, I bow my knee unto the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye should be rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That we shouldn't faint in the middle of all the trials and sorrows. And it says God's going to use it just like he says he takes the precious fruit. Unless it dies, it can't bring forth more fruit. We got to die to ourselves. Die to our own personalities, and to the point where we think that we're something when we're nothing. Amen. We need to trust him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Bible talks about not to faint. And I've had preachers call me and say, preacher, how can you go through all that? I said, I'm not, it's God. It's got to be God. And you can trust him. I've watched many of y'all go through so many different things. And I prayed for you. I try to be there to comfort you. I try to intercede on your behalf to God, that God would bring forth fruit in your life. And I'll tell you this story about how the Lord does strange stuff. I got to church this morning. We didn't have no power. I walked in the building. Pam was sitting out front. I walked in the building. I let Pam in. I said, hey, sis. She came in, and I said, we ain't got no power. So, I don't freak out and go, crazy, what's going on? Some of y'all go crazy when something happens. Blankety-blank, I can't believe this happened to me. Why me? I thank the Lord we had a gymnasium. I didn't think we had no power at all on the place. So I went and checked the circuit breakers and everything. Then I walked over to the gym, and Brother Dave pulled up. And Dave says, I got to put some stuff in the freezer over here for Tuesday. I said, well, let me open the gym. So I walk over here. Somebody's already opened the gym. And the freezer's on. So I walk over and turn the light on. I said, man, we got lights in here. I turned the air conditioner. I said, we're good. Hallelujah. We ain't got no power there. So I walk over to the house. We got power in the house. I said, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We got power over here. Ain't got no power here. So then Dave says to me, he says, hey, and he looked up. He said, look at that transformer. See if it looked up there. And it was a wire burnt off. We was preaching in here one Sunday morning. I was preaching on hell. All the power went out. How many of y'all remember that? The power went out, and somebody went out there to the door, and they looked at the pole was on fire. So what do you do? Keep preaching, man. Keep going. And I kept calling the power company, kept trying to get a hold of them. Finally, I got a hold of the guy, and the guy come out. And I said, after we got all the chairs, we set up chairs in there. If y'all go look, we got the chairs set up and everything. And Jesse was coming here to transfer everything, get everything set up over there, him to Alex. And I said, well, hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You just go with it. Amen. All right, God, you know what you're doing. And then when we walked outside, David said, there's a truck out here. So I walk out, and the guy already had it fixed. And I said, are you a saved man? He goes, yes, sir. He said, you have power. I said, we have power in what? We will have power in 50 minutes. He said, what time church start? I said, 10 o'clock. And he already had it on. Trust the Lord. I was praying. I went in there. I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I know I can trust you. You do it. What needs to be done. And you don't have to flip out, go crazy, act like a fool, say stuff you regret. Blame God. You don't need to blame God. Somebody said, I've questioned God. Yeah, well, you can. It's nothing wrong with questioning God, but you're going to end up saying you're sorry. Why, Lord? You're going to end up saying you're sorry. Because the Lord's always right. Amen. Always right. He says, don't faint. Don't faint. Just trust me. And he'll bring and get the glory. If you don't trust him, he's not going to get the glory in your life. If you trust him, he'll get the glory. He'll get the glory in the church. That's what I always want. I want the Lord to get the glory. I want him to get the victory. I want the Lord to do something in our lives. And that's what we all should want. Amen. Amen. Don't faint. Be not weary in well-doing. Great verse in the Bible. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I don't understand it, folks. You say, preacher, do you understand? No, I don't. I don't understand. I know there's things that the Lord knows, and there's things in the works that God does. I know he knows all those things. And just like when the bus was on my head, I was crying out to God. I said, Lord, help. I thought that was it. But I said, Lord, help. And Becky, my wife, came out and got that jack, and they started jacking that bus up in between my legs. I told them, Becky thought I was dead. She wouldn't even look under there. Linda thought I was dead. Tyler was there. He's screaming, Tyler. And I went out the next day to tell you. I got out. I said, I'm good. I'm fine. My head was going poof, poof, poof. My ribs were broke. I said, I'm fine. A guy had called me, and Brother Wicks called me. He said, so-and-so had a heart attack. Can we go to the hospital and see him? I said, sure. I'll pick you up at 5. And I looked at him. I said, what was I doing? Oh, yeah. I was letting the bus down. I got back out of there, and I slid under there because I was thinking about this guy in the hospital that had a heart attack. And I jumped back out of the bus, and I turned to Jack, and the Lord kept reminding. Let me tell you this. God kept telling me, look at the airbags, look at the airbags, look at the airbags. And I kept saying, yeah, I got to crank it up. I got to get the airbags up. I got to get the airbags up. And then my thought train was gone, and I was thinking about this guy in the hospital. I jumped back under there, and I turned to Jack, and I looked up, and I went, oh, God. And I tried to slide out. And I couldn't get out, and it caught me. Slammed my head into the concrete, and I laid there, tried to get to the jack. I couldn't get to the jack. I didn't even have hair hooked up to it. I was trying to stop it from coming down further. And then I was going, God, help me. Help me, Lord. And I could hear my bones cracking. And my eyesight went black. Blood started filling my eyes. I went, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. When they came out and took that jack and started, Becky started jacking that jack, and she's crying, and she's jacking that thing. She got me out. I said, I'm good. I'm fine. Linda's on 911, calling 911. I got the phone. I said, oh, I'm good. Don't worry about it. I'm fine. My head was going poof, 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 poof. I said, I'm good. She said, you going to the hospital? No, I'll go to the hospital to see that guy had a heart attack. I go to the hospital that night. Linda's mad at me because I didn't go to the hospital. Broke my ribs. I broke ribs on this side 5 times, broke ribs on this side 4 times. And she said, she was mad at me for not going to the hospital. I said, I'm fine. I'm a hard-headed guy, you know, pride and all that stuff. And So I tell 911, I'm good. You don't need to come. I wasn't going to. I finally got the phone. I was able to call her. I usually don't have my phone. And I couldn't even see it. It took me 4 times to call my house. And then my answering unit came on, said, hello, you've reached Pastor Ryman. And I had to go through the whole thing. I'm listening. I'm saying, shut up, man, come on. And finally I said, Linda, I couldn't breathe. It was on my chest, breaking ribs. And I said, Linda, help, I'm being crushed. And then I heard her screaming. That was a sweet sound, man. And she comes screaming, and she was on the phone. I told him, I'm good. I go to the hospital that night. There's no lie. The guy that had a heart attack, I looked at him, and I didn't tell him what happened to me. I told Brother Wicks, and Brother Wicks said, man, you go to the hospital? I said, no, I'm fine. I know I broke ribs. That's fine. My head, it'll go down. And so the guy says to me, I said, brother, how does it feel to have a heart attack? He said, preacher, you wouldn't believe it. He said, it felt like a bus sitting on my chest. I busted out laughing. I said, I know how that feels. So what do you do? You know what made me happy? Is the Lord's not finished with me. Amen. When the Lord's done, he's done.
That's right. Amen.
So you better, George, that's why George lived life for the fullest. Tried to do all he could.
Amen.
He wanted to
Amen.
Finish his course.
What
are we supposed to do? Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You keep going. Keep serving. Keep trusting. Amen? All right, take about five. I think we got donuts and coffee downstairs. We bought 10 boxes of donuts.